In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Running parallel with major paradigm shifts in the political landscape is the ongoing UFO and non-humans among us U.S. government subcommittee disclosure meetings. We're told there's a vast universe with billions of galaxies, with planets such as Earth sustaining life. We're told there are unidentified flying objects piloted by non-humans. Yes, but non-humans labeled extraterrestrials. Implied in the label ET, they're from another planet. However, there is also the interdimensional possibility to consider that has long been added to the public discourse. Most belief systems are built on the premise there is a universe, multiverse, with trillions upon trillions of stars, galaxies, solar systems, and planets. This premise is pushed forward by once trusted institutions that are weakening under heavy public scrutiny. For at least the last 20 years, windows of contradictory evidence remain unacknowledged. For example, the narratives in the moon landing, including the impossibility of traveling through the Van Allen radiation belts. More people have become interested in exploring historic timeline artifacts and unearthing evidence of not-too-distant societal resets. This is in the context of the Great Reset, proclaimed by architects of the recent engineered pandemic. While in this trend of independent thought and discernment, the corporate narratives are rendered to transparent deception, and for some, traditional Bible prophecy is a way to navigate a cautious path. Our guest believes there are no plurality of worlds, and points out we are being visited by interdimensional fallen angels, not extraterrestrials. One thing for certain is the U.S. government and related agencies have been pathologically deceptive on this topic for the last half century. L.A. Marzulli joins us to talk about his recent book titled Rungs of Disclosure, Following the Trail of Extraterrestrials and the End Times. L.A. is a well-known author, lecturer, and filmmaker. He's written 14 books, including the best-selling The Nephilim Trilogy. Based on his work on the trilogy, L.A. received an honorary doctorate from his mentor, Dr. I.D.E. Thomas, who was the provost at Pacific International University. His book series, On the Trail of the Nephilim, Volumes 1 and 2, are full color, which reveal startling evidence of a massive cover-up of what he believes to be the remains of the Nephilim, the giants mentioned in the Bible. L.A. Marzulli, welcome to Another News.
Great to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Well, L.A., you've been researching, writing books, producing documentaries, on the lecture circuits, warning people about the UFO and alien phenomena, and that fallen angels are masquerading as aliens from different planets or dimensions. We're going to be focusing on your book, Rungs of Disclosure. Would you please lay out your belief system for listeners, such as what are your thoughts on present-day narratives of an infinite universe, trillions upon trillions of stars, galaxies, etc.? Are we living under some type of dome, a firmament, as mentioned in the Bible?
Well, let's start with the firmament. The firmament was there in the days of Noah, and then the firmament collapsed, so it doesn't exist anymore, in my opinion. Other people may disagree with that, and that's fine. As far as the universe and where we are, I do not believe in the plurality of worlds. And I get that. When I say that at conferences, a lot of people were taken aback by that because they'll say, surely you're not ignorant or arrogant enough to think that we're in the universe. And I throw back at them, we don't know what this is or where we are in it. Nobody knows what this actually is. And what we see from the biblical prophetic narrative that God El Shaddai, the Most High God, God Almighty, rolls up the heavens like a scroll. Now, is that metaphor or is it literal? Is he actually going to create a new heaven and a new earth? How does he do that? We also know that when these entities appear, both the good angels and the bad angels, an angel just means it's from angelos. It just means messenger. And most people have a complete misconception of what these entities are. They are very powerful, incredibly intelligent. They are immortal. They have been around for a long time. And many of them stand in the presence of God Almighty, which is why when they appear to human beings, we basically do what's called a face plant. We fall on our faces because we get short-circuited. So when these angelic entities appear, both the good and the bad guys, they manipulate space, time, matter, and energy in ways that defy our physics. When people see UFOs, unidentified flying objects, unidentified aerial phenomena, whatever acronym you want to use, the bottom line is this: they're making right-angle turns. They're accelerating like bullets out of a gun. The G-forces would completely squash a human man, a human being. There's no way that's going to happen. How are they doing that? Because they're bending space, time, matter, and energy in ways that defy our physics, the physics that we know. When a person is abducted, and this is, we have 10 films on the whole UFO phenomena to the 10-box set. Number 4 is on abductions. We sit down with 4 people, 2 men, 2 women. All of them were taken, some of them numerous times. When they're taken, their partner, their husband or wife, are switched off. They find themselves levitating over the bed, and they are paralyzed. No one gave them a shot to paralyze them. How are they paralyzed? How does that work? We don't know. Then they're levitated off the bed. That defies physics as we know it. Then they go to the window, and the window is closed. And every abductee I've ever talked to says the same thing. And I'm quoting Dr. David Jacobs' work. They're thinking to themselves, are these entities going to open the window? They don't open the window. The abductee goes through the window. How is that possible? Because these entities, once again, can manipulate space, time, matter, and energy, which defy our physics. So right off the bat, what is this? Are we living in a holographic universe? Because if we are, that would explain a lot how these entities can manipulate space, time, matter, and energy in the example that I just used, going through the window. We all know that you can't go through the window. And yet, that's exactly what happens. High strangeness.
This level of high strangeness is not unfamiliar to U.S. agencies. The lies and deception coming from places such as NASA and the NRO, including the clear inconsistencies enveloping the moon landing, such as no blast crater under the lunar module. Yet there's a dramatic rendering by an artist of a blast crater beneath the module at the National Air and Space Museum. That's just an example. But in your extensive research, LA, what have you learned about the true shape of the Earth and why such secrecy surrounds the continent of Antarctica?
Let's walk through this. And I've a friend of mine, Gary Stearman, is a pilot, has been a pilot for since he was a kid. Literally, he was flying planes at like 7 or 8 years old. They were 2-seaters, but he was flying planes. So in order to go from point A to point B, one has to know the circumference of the Earth. You just can't go in a straight line. If you're going from Los Angeles to New York, you have to calculate the curvature of the Earth and understand how that works. Otherwise, you're going to wind up hundreds of miles away from New York City. So the bottom line is this. I do not believe in a flat Earth. I've thrown this challenge out to flat earthers. No one ever takes me up on it because they know that they can't. You guys pull all your money together, hire a pilot, and go to the end. If we're really surrounded by mountains of ice, then, surely they haven't protected all of the airspace. Surely we can get up close and get a picture. It's never going to happen. I've flown over the pole from Israel to Los Angeles. I know what it is. That's exactly what they did. They flew over the pole, over the North Pole. And when you're up there at 37,000 feet at the North Pole looking down, you can see the Earth. I mean, the space shuttle is not a joke. The space shuttle is in orbit. It's a sphere. It's not flat. So you have all this data which people just, oh, it's a fake. Oh, the space shuttle's not happening. Oh, it, I mean, really? Seriously, guys? I mean, come on. I mean, how much evidence? So the onus is up to you now, all you flat earthers out there. Go out and show us the evidence. And just don't give me a bunch of platitudes. Go out with your cameras, hire a jet, you know, a flat earth pilot, and you guys go out and bring back the picture. As far as Antarctica, very mysterious. First of all, let's walk through it. A person can go to Antarctica. It's not like it's a sealed off continent. It's not. You and I could go, you know, in the summer. So we don't want to, actually right around now is a good time to go because it's getting in the summer. Not yet, but soon. So we could go to Antarctica. There's no problem. There are certain parts of Antarctica that you can't visit. There are certain parts of the United States that you can't visit. Area 51. Gee, isn't that a coinkadink? You can't go into Wright-Patterson Field. Hitler was obsessed with Antarctica for some reason. That's why the Nazis created New Schwabenland. That's why at the end of World War II, U-boats go missing. That's why there was a wonderful series on the History Channel. I loved it, Hunting Hitler. And they showed that in all possibility, Hitler did not die in the bunker, but he flew to Spain. And from Spain, went by U-boat to Argentina. And from there, went to Bariloche and other places where he lived to a very ripe old age. I believe our CIA knew that, but that's conjecture on my part. But I believe he escaped. I believe he escaped. We also know that U-boats went missing at the end of World War II. Then you have the Admiral Byrd fiasco. And, you know, anybody could write the so-called Admiral Byrd diary. So there's no protocol, there's no provenance, rather. There's no provenance for the Admiral Byrd diary. It's like this thing just appears on the net. Well, where's the original? Who's got the original? You know, where did all this come from? It's a sci-fi movie. You could write that in an afternoon. So I'm not buying the Admiral Byrd story either. But do I believe in Roswell? All day long. That was a crash craft that was there, and there's reasons for that. Do I believe in the Kumbergaz UFO clip, which people have stolen our work from the late Dr. Roger Lear and my late business partner, Richard Shaw, and I broke that story? That's real. Those entities in the craft are real. That thing hovered over Kumbergaz Lake for 5 hours. It's the best UFO footage to date, in my opinion. It's not AI. It's real. We live in a very complex universe. And because of my worldview, I'm a frank supernaturalist. And I always look for the natural explanation first. But if I can't find one, then I'm looking at the supernatural.
Thanks for your thoughts on this. And I wanted to just give listeners a basic overview of how you view the Earth, the structures of the universe. And I agree that UFO footage, I guess it's in Turkey that you're referencing.
Correct.
At some of the best footage I've ever seen. Well, getting into some of the work here regarding the Nephilim, this is just another layer down. We have a scenario that many consider valid where non-humans already live among us and have for centuries masquerading as humans, occupying leadership positions in key sectors of society. In this case, many believe there won't be any significant disclosure. How could there be? Please talk about your thoughts on this scenario.
First of all, I have had people come up to me at conferences, and I don't go public with it because I can't vet it. But they have told me of encounters that they have had with people in leadership that were shapeshifters. Unless I can see it, I can't possibly, you know, go public with it. I will tell you this. In our film, once again, on UFO disclosure, and in my book, The Rungs of Disclosure, I reference Al Matthews. Al Matthews had an encounter with what could only be called a hybrid entity, and the entity was female. Very pretty gal, well-dressed. Al's a professional mover, and Al goes to move this woman. She just came in with a container from Kuwait, and she's wearing these dark glasses, almost like swimmer's goggles. And she you know, they strike up a conversation. Now Al is alone with her on the freight elevator. They're going up to where her container is. And she leans over and she goes, "They're listening, Al." And Al goes, "Who's listening?" And she goes, "You know, the Grays. You and I were supposed to meet on the ships many times, but it didn't happen." So one thing leads to another. Al is completely freaked out by this, that type of a statement. But he gives this woman, Diane, his phone number. And Diane is constantly calling him, wanting to do a meetup. Finally, Al succumbs to the badgering, for lack of a better word, and goes up to this apartment. It's a beautiful summer night. Diane is with her friend. It's her friend's apartment. And these two gals are drinking wine out of very large goblets. They're seated outdoors on the deck. And a very large deer fly lands on Diane's wine goblet. And Al goes, "Let me get a Kleenex. I'll get it for you." And she goes, no, I got it." Here's the first sign. She reaches over, and she doesn't grab the fly. The fly sticks to her index finger. I'll say it again. The fly sticks to her index finger. She's not squeezing it or holding it. She brings it up to her mouth about 6 inches away, and she sucks it in. How is that possible? How can you suck a fly that's on your index finger from 6 inches away? Normal human beings can't do this. She takes off the glasses. She goes over to where Al is, and she sits on his lap. So they're face to face. She pulls up his shirt, and she goes, "Gee, Al, you're well preserved." And she starts rubbing his chest. And at this point, I jump in and go, Al, this isn't normal behavior. Is this normal behavior from you?" And his mouth drops open. He goes, "No." And I go, "You have a girlfriend, right?" And he goes, "Yes. Why are you allowing this?" And he goes, I don't know." I call it UFO brain fog, because when a human being is around an entity like this, they're not thinking straight. They can't think straight. So she leans forward to kiss him, and Al kind of snaps out of it and pushes her off of him. And the eyes shapeshift. The eyes shapeshift. They go from normal human being to white with yellow streaks and serpentine. So she lets out the most evil laugh, according to Al, that you've ever heard in your life. And Al hightails it out of there. Goes over to a mutual friend, Gordy Tong. They call me on Skype, and we basically talk Al Matthews off the ledge, because he's totally fried. He's totally freaked out. That gives you an idea of people who are encountering hybrids that are walking amongst us, which, by the way, is the title of Dr. David Jacobs' book, Walking Amongst Us, because they've integrated. I was on an interview recently, Jeff, and the interviewer, the woman asked me, "Well, why are they doing this? You know, why are they creating these hybrids?" And I basically said, Satan, i.e. the dragon, is outnumbered 2-1. When they show up, they're going to use the hybrids to basically bring us into a one-world government, a one-world religious system. I mean, they're already talking about this. This is what the experiencers and other people are talking about. So to answer the question, and I wrote about this in the Rungth of Disclosure, there's going to be a moment in time where there is full-blown disclosure. I believe and would put forth to your audience that this will come after some sort of a nuclear event on the planet. Because humankind right now, we are wired up in ways that are absolutely unprecedented because of the internet. We can communicate. The entire world is linked up. You have a nuclear event, the entire planet will see the aftermath and be absolutely, the levels of fear will be unprecedented in all of human history. And people will be going, "Oh my gosh, are we next? Are we all going to die? Is this it? Are they going to split the earth in two? Are they going to wipe all the human beings out? What are we looking at here?" And that's when they show up. Fear is their calling card. Fear is what they move in. And when you've got the entire planet poised in a state of fear, that's when they show up. And when they show up, they will tell us that they created all life on this planet. They genetically manipulated early man. They started the world's religions. Now at this critical juncture in human history, they, our so-called space brothers, ET, are here to usher mankind into a golden age. That is a lie. That is what I call the coming great deception. And I think we're close to it.
Considering what's going on in the Ukraine and Russia mm-hmm. at the moment,
sure.
we're very close, it seems. We haven't seen rhetoric like this for a very long time. But we have another scenario here as well, and that is the Nephilim descend onto Earth as agents of deception, as you mentioned, to save humanity. This is interesting because past guest Paul Stobbs, author of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, suggests the Nephilim are relegated to a dimensional quarantine, accessible when doing psychedelics and Ouija boards. How do you see this possible scenario playing out?
Well, we need to define what the Nephilim are, first of all. The Nephilim are the progeny of fallen angels and human women. They were here, and they're here now, but they were also here in the days before the flood and the days after the flood. When the 12 tribes go into the promised land, the Nephilim tribes are there. The disembodied spirits of the Nephilim become demons that wander the earth. They are earthbound. They are earthbound demons. They need a human being to manifest, to possess, to manifest through, or an animal or an object. That's how that works. So when you take DMT or ayahuasca or whatever, and you pop into what's called the second heaven, the first heaven is where human beings reside. The second heaven is an interdimensional place, and it's not like this at all. Right now, it's the place of fallen angels. It's the place of the dragon. It's his foothold. That place between earth and the third heaven. The third heaven is where the Most High God dwells. We know from the biblical prophetic narrative that Michael, and who's a good angel, and all of his good angels fight with the dragon and his angels, and the dragon is overcome. And then it says, woe to the inhabitants of earth, because Satan, the dragon, your adversary, has come down to you, and he knows his time is short. So I call it the great eviction notice. So the dragon is kicked out of a second heaven. So when a person takes ayahuasca, that's where they pop up into. They pop up into the second heaven, which is why they see all this stuff. But here's the problem. A person can't really hold on to anything that you see in the second heaven. We're not equipped. We don't have, that's why we're told not to go there, first of all. So when a person takes DMT or ayahuasca or whatever, and they pop into the second heaven, they're in a place that they're not equipped for. The analogy would be, if you take a snorkel and you want to go down, you know, 150 feet in the ocean, good luck with that. You're not equipped to do that. You're not, without a snorkel, you go down, what, 30 feet maybe, 40 feet, maybe. Some of the guys who have been doing it forever can go down deeper. Okay, I get that. But we're not equipped to do that. We're not equipped to live in the ocean, to spend time in the ocean. But, you know, you get a scuba tank on and fins and a mask, and you know how to regulate. You've been training. Guess what? You can spend an hour down there. You can do that because you're equipped. But we're not equipped at all in any way, shape, or form to pop into the second heaven and understand anything we're seeing. So my word of caution is this. Any material that comes from the second heaven, including the Nephilim look like clowns or anything, I take it with a grain of salt.
You have these different sources. You have the second heaven. You have they walk among us. You have, I guess, materializing as maybe more powerful fallen angels. So we have these three sources so far to look at how these Nephilim or fallen angels come into the human realm or communicate with us. It's very interesting. In your book titled Rungs of Disclosure, you discuss a noticeable malaise in the public and in the church in response to the current disclosure hearings.
Mm-hmm.
There was another exhaustive wave of UFO and alien disclosure programming on corporate media beginning in 2012. You could argue that after several decades of being fed conflicting material, science fiction, entertainment, and documentary series on the topic, that the public is waiting for it to all shake out. But what are your thoughts on the public's uneasy and weak interest right now?
In one of my books, it's called UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year-Old Cover-Up Exposed. In the beginning of that book, there are probably 15 pages that list the movies and books and films and TV shows that deal with the so-called extraterrestrial presence, whether it's films like War of the Worlds or books like Taken or, you know, Whitley Strieber's book Communion. The list is unbelievable. So the public has been inundated with this till the cows come home, to the point where Congress is telling us that the phenomenon is real. Whistleblowers are testifying under oath in Congress that the UFO phenomenon is real. And nobody cares. I mean, the malaise, the ambivalence, the lack of interest is mind-boggling. There was a commercial, and I would have your listeners to go after where our interview is finished. Go to YouTube and Google Hello Down There 2024 Super Bowl. And in my opinion, this is predictive programming on steroids. I mean, it really is. Predictive programming on steroids. And what we're seeing, it opens up. A woman is walking down the streets of New York, holding her cell phone, and she's looking at the headline. It says, Congress declares that UAPs are real. She doesn't like that, and she scrolls over, and now there's a cat clawing the toilet paper, and it's unrolling in a bathroom. But while she's looking at the cat, the camera pans back, and above her, we see a very large UFO go flying overhead. Everyone's oblivious to it. Then the commercial cuts to Paris, France, the Eiffel Tower. All these young people are seated on blankets, picnicking on a beautiful summer day in front of the Eiffel Tower. It's just wonderful. But above them is a UFO directly over the tower. They're oblivious to it. Then it cuts to a diner in Texas, little tin diner like we saw in the 50s. And a couple are eating their breakfast, and she's looking at her cell phone. There it is again. And he's looking at his cell phone. And she's looking at, on her cell phone, it says, Celebrity Bacon Diet. And their dog is parked in their pickup truck right outside the window. And reflecting in the mirror is a very large UFO directly overhead. Then it cuts to Japan in a boardroom 15 stories up in the air. And there's windows on either side of the boardroom. And there's flying saucers on both windows, buzzing up and down, trying to get people's attention. They're all on their laptops, tablets, or cell phones. So the entity, the alien in the spaceship, in the UFO, smacks his head, presses a button that says hello down there. And this is where it gets really interesting. Because we all have Amber Alerts on our phone. And we know that they can simultaneously turn on that Amber Alert. And everybody's phone switches to the Amber Alert, no matter what's going on. How can they do that? How can they do that? So the entity, the alien, presses the hello down there. And all of a sudden, everybody's phone, tablet, computer shows the aliens waving at them. And it says, hello down there. And then people start looking up. So it starts with the woman in New York City. And she looks up. Above her is a mile-wide UFO directly above her in the streets of New York. But that's not all. There are maybe 5 or 10 other UFOs near that going back and forth. Then it cuts to Paris, France. All the kids have stood up looking above them, mile-wide craft above Paris, France. Now the couple in the diner are pressed against the window as they're looking at a UFO directly above them. Same thing in Japan. The board meeting is over, and everyone is pressed up against the glass watching the UFOs. And the bottom line is this is a global event, and they're telegraphing what's about to happen. And I think, as I said earlier, I think a nuclear event is the trigger that they are waiting for. There's also a scripture which is very interesting. It's in a book called Thessalonians. It's written to the guys in a city called Thessalonica about 2,000 years ago. And it says this, that you'll know what, it's chapter 2 Thessalonians, I think it's 4. I could be wrong, maybe it's 2. Forgive me. But it basically says this, that the restrainer will restrain until he is taken out of the way. So there's someone, I believe it's the Spirit of the Living God, someone is holding this phenomenon back. So it says this, For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then it goes, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe a lie. So I had a host kind of challenge me on that. Well, you know, they're not appearing. God is sending them that strong delusion. Well, that may be true, but we know that when someone is holding the lawless one back, we know that. The one who now holds it back will continue to hold back until he is taken out of the way. And then when we go down to the next scripture where it says, for this reason, God sends them strong delusion. Well, guess what? The word send can mean to send, to transmit. But in this particular context, I would say permit to go. That's a whole different deal. Because someone is holding this phenomena back. And that same someone permits them to go. And that's what the strong delusion is. Now, that's conjecture, but I've run that by some biblical scholars, and they agree with me that, yes, could be a very acceptable interpretation, especially in view of the chapter that we're reading. This is a very complex deal. It's supernatural. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, these entities have been around. Why not give us the cure to cancer? No, they abduct people. That's called kidnapping. They perform sadistic sexual experiments on them, examinations on them. Women are impregnated. In the third month of their pregnancy, they are reabducted, and that entity, that hybrid fetus that's in them, is taken out. Cattle is mutilated. Why are they? There's a whole chapter in the Rugs of Disclosure on the cattle mutilations. We have a film on it. We believe, my business partner, Gil Zimmerman, and myself, that they are creating artificial wombs with the material taken from the mutilated cow.
Okay. Because let me respond to your discussion of the commercial. I think that's really interesting. It does, it's a huge comment on this weapons grade conditioning that has been imposed on humans to put them in a somnambulistic trance. It's also a fatigue on the topic as well, as mentioned before in for that question, all the documentaries, all the entertainment for decades and decades and decades, that's going to have an effect, of course, on the collective mind. And then you have the Project Bluebeam issue where it's building up to this, you know, when it does happen, it will be a complete holographic scenario. So most people won't believe it, and they don't believe a lot of the UFO videos online at the moment because of the ability to digitally construct these sightings.
I get it.
And as you know, I mean, you're in the middle of all this talking with people. But as you mentioned, it's complex. It's very complex, especially when then you go into the biblical element where God allows lifts a restriction on this deception to occur. And so there's that test coming down with these the false light, the false savior. We can't even go into how complex this is going to be if it does transpire. But we're seeing all this evidence around us, as you've pointed out, and you were just going into, you mentioned the physical evidence of UFOs, such as the implants left by alien contact, and abductions. Correct. And Dr. Carla Turner and Barbara Bartholik had done some of the best research on the abduction phenomena, and you mentioned David Jacobs as well. And Dr. Turner's conclusions are in line with yours to an extent. This is a worldwide problem. As you mentioned, quoting from Calvin Parker in your book, it's a phenomenon that knows no boundaries and it adheres to no cultural mores. The ones who are engaged in this nefarious activity do so with impunity. And people are being taken against their will. You're saying it's kidnapping. It is. It's in the cover of darkness. They're subjected to bizarre examinations. And this is getting really odd here. This is where it gets very interesting. And, of course, it gets into the hybrid program. But the examinations are sexual in nature, but they're, according to Dr. Carla Turner, they're sexually exploiting 3-year-old girls.
Yes.
that doesn't get into any of the breeding program stuff. I don't know what that's about. But some of the evidence points to a breeding program creating human-non-human hybrids. Would you tell listeners about the hybrid program here?
We published a book on Spiral of Life. That's our company. We published a book by Karen Wilkinson, who was a lifelong abductee. They started taking her at 4 to 5 years of age. And she was groomed. That's why they start young. She was absolutely groomed. And she had a handler who appeared as a very handsome human being, but his true nature was reptilian. And later on, that reptilian entity raped her. Karen carried 3 babies. She was, you know, impregnated by them. This is why our abduction film is so important, because the bottom line is there's 2 men and 2 women. The men are taken for the sperm. The women are taken for their ovum, or they are impregnated. And Karen was impregnated by them 3 different times. And every single time in the third month, the latter part of a third month of pregnancy, she's re-abducted, and they come and they take the hybrid from her again. So these are nefarious entities. They do not have, they don't care about us at all. They just use people. They will kill you sometimes, and they do that. There are human mutilations, just like the cattle mutilations, where entire parts are cored out with surgical precision. When we came out with our cattle mutilation film that year, in April of that year, there was a rash of cattle mutilations in Texas, and it went national. It was national news. No one knows what's going on with the mutilated cows in Texas. Sex organs are cored out. Tongues go missing. Well, we knew. And it was right in line with our film on cattle mutilations, which, by the way, is the darkest film I've ever worked on, because it's like going into Hell's Kitchen, but there's never any release. There's no happy moment. There's no third act where everything gets resolved and the hero wins. No, nobody wins here. Nobody wins. It's very dark, very nefarious, very oppressive. And that's our sixth film in the series, 10 films. And so what we came up with, and we may be the first researchers to come up with this, I don't know whether we are or not, and when I speak of we, it's my business partner, Gil Zimmerman, and I, we believe that the material from the mutilated cow are used to create artificial wombs for the hybrids to come into full term, because the woman is reabducted in the third month of her pregnancy. That hybrid fetus, modern-day Nephilim, cannot live outside the womb. So they just place it in an artificial womb. And we've heard this. We've seen it on The X-Files. We've heard it from people like Karen Wilkinson, who have been on the ships and seen the vials and what's happening. It's a very astute answer to a very complex problem. And here's what most people don't know, that bovine blood, the blood from a cow, can be used interchangeably with a human transfusion. How is it possible? And it's medically approved. It's approved by the AMA, American Medical Association, that in transfusions, you can use bovine blood. Obviously, they process it, but it's bovine blood that they're using.
They also use bovine bone marrow. Dentists use it to pad the implant area.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's compatible too.
Yep, absolutely.
We reported on this a year and a half ago on the show. A mass murder of 300 zoo animals occurred at the Queens Zoo in New York City overnight in 1987. It began with 2 nights of UFO sightings over the area. The next morning, the caretaker and several other employees opened up the zoo and were horrified to find every animal in the zoo dead. Not just dead, but strangely mutilated. The animals were found dead in their cages, no forced entry, and the blood had been drained from the animals. And these are animals such as sea lions, bears, sheep, mountain lions, coyotes, and wolves. Is something else going on here, or is it not just cattle? What do you suspect is going on here, LA?
Well, you know, I did some research on that, and I'd have to do more research on it. But the basic overview is there seems to be the animals were mutilated. And so in a classic mutilation, they go in and it's a farmer and he's got a herd of cattle and he puts the cattle to bed. He gets back on his forerunner, goes back to the ranch house, has dinner. Next morning he gets up, he's going to go drop some hay off, check on the herd, and the herd has moved away from this one cow lying on her side. So the farmer goes up and he realizes, oh my gosh, who did this? There's no footprints, all the blood is drained, parts of the animal have been excised with surgical precision. So that's a typical cattle mutilation. What happened at Queens, it's kind of all over the map. Some researchers say there were vandals that went in. Others say it's a satanic sacrifice. You know, I mean, it's just others say, okay, UFOs were reported, but it's like Antarctica. And unless you can go there, you really don't know. It's like Wright-Patterson Field. Unless I can go to Wright-Patt and I have total access to every aspect, every hidden thing, I don't know what's stored there. It's a lot of conjecture. I believe that the wreckage from Roswell was stored there. So circling back to the mutilation, whether or not it was a classic mutilation created by UFOs, I really don't know. But I know that we went to a ranch and we spoke to a rancher, and this man lost 16 head of cow in 20 years, almost yearly. And he was afraid. And he showed me pictures and we interviewed him. Very, very dark stuff, Jeff.
It is dark. Listeners may know about that Queens Zoo scenario. The animals were removed. There was no news about it. And then they tore down the entire zoo and removed 7 or 8 inches of topsoil and rebuilt the entire zoo. You mention in your book, Rungs of Disclosure, about priests visiting NASA. Would you talk about why NASA is connecting with the Catholic Church? And as you mentioned, ETs are not ETs, but interdimensional entities. In other words, fallen angels and the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, which are demons, as you pointed out. If ET shows up, how will this impact the church in general? And did NASA pick the church because of the 1.3 billion followers of Catholicism?
They're looking at this and partnering up with the Vatican to try to figure out how this affects not only Catholicism, but the religions of the world. And remember, we know from the biblical prophetic narrative that there's going to be a one-world government and a one-world religious system, which begs the question, how do you do that? How do you move a needle? How do you get Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, Shintos, Hindus together? I mean, animists, how do you do this? Well, the coming great deception will do that. The coming great deception, mile-wide UFO over the cities of the world, will change everybody's paradigm immediately. And NASA, never a straight answer, knows exactly who it is that they're dealing with. The higher-ups do. The guy, the rank and file don't. But the higher-ups certainly do. So they're trying to go, well, what if they show up? How does this impact the Christian faith? In other words, what if Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and Krishna all come walking out of some UFO someplace? Now what? And there are people who have talked about that. I mean, Ray L., who claims to be the so-called brother of Jesus, he started this organization called the Raelians, and they're building a structure in Jerusalem because he has said openly, publicly, that when they show up, all these ascended masters are going to come walking out of the ship. And the New Age people believe that Jesus was just another ascended master. Well, in my purview, he's not. In my view, he's not just an ascended master. He is the Son of a living God. He's the only one to ever rise from the dead. Nobody else on the planet that's ever done that. And that's why the Shroud of Turin, the next film, I digress here, but our next film that we're working on the Shroud of Turin, because we think it's the most important artifact on the planet. And it bears the image of a crucified man. And before you say no, spend an hour on shroud.com. Most people have never done any research on the Shroud, but they think they know. So arrogance and ignorance is a very deadly combination. Go to shroud.com and spend an hour there. And then email me, because it's It's the most studied artifact on the planet. But we know from Scripture, we know from the biblical prophetic narrative, specifically the book of Revelation, that the Antichrist is going to create this one world government, one world religious system. And you go back 100, 150 years and people would say, well, that's impossible. That's never going to happen. That must be allegory. It's not allegory. It's not. It's literal. That's exactly what we're going to see. And the neo-Darwinists, the people that hold to the Darwinian paradigm, the idea of evolution, realize that the complexity of the DNA molecular structure just didn't fall out of a tree someplace or just manifest. Somebody created this. So the neo-Darwinists are looking to the stars for the answer, which is why when the Space Brothers show up, everybody going, yay, yeah, we always knew we were created by somebody, because the Space Brothers will tell us, the so-called Space Brothers, who are nothing more than fallen angels, being permitted to create the strong delusion, because it did not, remember, God allows them to go. God gives them, okay, you can go now. Why? Because humanity refused to believe the truth. What's the truth? That Jesus was God's son, that he died on the cross for all humanity. That's the truth, that we were created in his image. That's the truth. People can believe that or they can scoff at it. So what are you going to believe in if you don't believe that there's a loving God who created us? This all just happened? We just, over millions and millions of years of mindless evolution, created the complexity of a human being? Not buying that for a second. I mean, how does the heart work? They don't know. They don't know. Oh, it's electrical impulses, blah, blah, blah. Excuse me. You don't know how the heart works. You have no idea how it works. Yet it does. There, it's pumping away right now. You know, how does that thing pump? Nobody can figure it out. We are fearfully and wonderfully created by a loving, holy God. And God permits the strong delusion to take place. He permits it, allows them to go, because people don't believe the truth. And that's exactly where we are. That's exactly where we are as a culture. Yes, there's a remnant. There's always a remnant. I'm part of that remnant. But it'll be very interesting to see how all this plays out in the coming weeks, because it's heating up.
It is heating up. I wanted to also ask you, are there any other representatives from different religions that are brought into NASA in addition to priests in the Catholic Church?
I would say yes, but we're not being told. But my inclination is yes. It's interesting how there are no evangelicals, people like myself, that are being asked anything by anybody, but certainly not our government. I mean, look, I'm like an ABC player. So an A player is someone like Joe Rogan, you know, Tucker Carlson. Those are all A players. B players, you know, maybe Nino Rodriguez, Coast to Coast, C players. I'm a C player. You know, I have 225,000 subscribers. That's a lot of people. I get that. But I'm a C player. You know, anybody that's got 2 or 3 million, now you're talking. That's A-listing stuff. So I'm a C player. But they know I'm here. Trust me. They know what I do. I'm all over the internet, blah, blah, blah. And I've been approached once by a guy in the deep state in 2016 when we did our expose on the giant of Kandahar. That ruffled some feathers, definitely ruffled some feathers. I was threatened three different ways by this guy for, you know, basically saying, back off, quit talking about this stuff. Mm. Now they realize that nobody cares because nobody cares, so who cares? So blab all you want. You know, they're gonna believe what they want to believe.
I like that no one cares part, because it does allow more information to get out in a way.
Exactly.
Now, L.A., we're told whistleblower David Grush, there's a separate chapter in your book, Rungs of Disclosure, written about mm-hmm. him. And he's coming forward letting the public know, among other things, that human biologics were collected with the UAP craft recovery. This is sworn testimony. Grush, mm-hmm. a 15-year intelligence officer in the U.S. Air Force, continued in this hearing, and he said, quote, "It's my hope that the revelations we unearth through investigations of the non-human reverse engineering programs I have reported on will act as an ontological shock, a catalyst for global reassessment of our priorities. Now, what are your thoughts on this statement here?
Well, first of all, for your listeners, that Grush is under oath. He's a stand-up guy. He's risking everything. There have already been hit pieces on David Grush. Of course, there are ad hominem attacks, attacking his credibility, his sanity, and on it goes. But he's under oath in Congress, and he looks right up at Representative Nancy Mace from South Carolina and says, to the answer to her question, did we retrieve the pilots from these craft, from these crashed UFOs? And he looks right up at her and says, yes, we retrieved biologics. And she asks the follow-up question, were these biologics human or non-human? And he looks right up at her and says, they were non-human biologics. That, to me, is one of the most unbelievable statements I have ever heard in my entire life. In my entire life. There it is in the halls of Congress. And the complacency, the ambivalence, nobody cares for the most part. When I say nobody, I'm painting with a broad brush here. Most people could care less. Who cares? The churches certainly don't talk about it. That statement is absolutely one of the most provocative statements I've ever heard. I fell out of my chair when I heard it. It's just unbelievable. Yes, we have non-human biologics. I mean, seriously? Seriously. So we've got them. We've got the bodies. We know that. And yet the ambivalence is, again, it's through the roof. The silence in the churches, they just laugh about it even now. And they'll call people names that are following this. I mean, are you really that arrogant and ignorant to think that this isn't the coming great deception? Because it is. This changes everything when they show up. And you got the whole, look, 2 weeks ago, there was a panel, Luis Elizondo, great book, eminent, stand-up guy, head of ATIP, Advanced Aeronautical Threat Identification Program. Admiral Gallaudet was there, Schellenberger was there, and one other gentleman, I can't remember his name. All these guys are stand-up guys, all of them. You know, this isn't, you know, some starry-eyed researcher out there that's, you know, on a mountaintop waiting for a UFO to show up. These are hardcore researchers, people that are risking their reputation, their severance, everything, to come on the record and tell the American people and Congress, tell the American people via the instrument of Congress that this phenomenon is real and we need to do something about it. So, you know, there you go. You know, what do we do? What do we do? I'm doing everything I can do. That's why we wrote the book. That's why I wrote the book, Rungs of Disclosure, and that's why my business partner, Gil Zimmerman, and I created 10 films on the UFO phenomena.
Would you talk more about the non-human reverse engineering programs? Black ops researcher Josh Reed suspects the crashed UAPs or UFOs are a Trojan horse to integrate their technology into human civilization. What are your thoughts on that idea?
Well, there definitely is a quid pro quo. There's definitely something for something here. I believe Eisenhower signed the pact with them, some sort of a treaty. They had access to the population. We got the goods. We got the toys. We got the UFOs. Bob Lazar out in Area 51, reverse engineering the propulsion system. I'm not making this up. Lazar's never changed his story, ever changed his story. He was there. Absolutely, he was there. So is it a Trojan horse? I don't believe that. I think that people like Philip Corso's book, which is also referenced in my book, Rungs of Disclosure, LAMarzulli.com, by the way, Corso back engineered, was involved in leaching out particular material to the private sector to be then back engineered. I have a friend, I won't mention his name, whose uncle was deeply, deeply involved in the back engineering from some of the crashed craft, specifically the Roswell. And he was involved in this. He had a laboratory. In fact, one of the movies, I won't mention the name of the film, he's one of the characters that they use in the movie, that he's got this little private underground lab where he's back engineering all this stuff. That's exactly what this guy's uncle was doing. It's very complex. Especially when you throw in crop circles, cattle mutilations, abductions, crash craft, the back engineering. This is the greatest event in all of human history other than the resurrection of Jesus. This causes and creates a global paradigm shift and does it instantaneously. And I think the hello down there, you know, YouTube video ad for the Super Bowl is predictive programming. That's what's coming.
Yeah, will people be ready for it? The engineered pandemic has shown everyone how psychologically fragile humans can be. There are traumatized people continuing to wear masks alone in their cars. For generations, humanity has been spared the larger, maybe terrible truth of the alien puzzle and the human evolutionary questions. Many good researchers have been badly injured or killed for getting too close. Are we now approaching the childhood's end for humanity, taking the expression from Arthur C. Clarke's book title? I can see, L.A., guided by your faith, your heart, your intuition, and Bible scripture, while there may be a margin of error, but it provides a firm grounding as this plays out. Either way, it seems most people paying close attention realize fully sold normal humans are being played. The deception is layers deep, and an intuitive vigilance is called for as this new technology filters into society because it's likely not going to benefit humanity. If listeners want to learn more about your work and find your books and film, how do they do that?
LAMarzulli.com, LAMarzulli.com. Everything is there. We've got all sorts of Christmas specials going on right now, Black Friday sales. But The Rugs of Disclosure, I think it's my most important book. And by the way, there's now 14 books and 30 films. So there's a corpus of work there. You know, we've spent an hour together, but I've been in this field and researching it literally for decades. This is the coming great deception, in my opinion. This is, this will change everything. And I think we're very, very close to it.
Thank you so much for being on In Other News. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.